I think that the consistency with internal and external visibility is what really matters. How you treat your employees, the things that you do for your employees, the way employees feel like they can come to work, it translates to your external brand reputation, your customer base, your client base, especially if your internal employees are customer facing.
Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us again on the podcast. I am very excited to introduce my friend, Kate McKinnon. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, Tori?
Doing great. I'm excited to share your story and see where this conversation takes us.
Same. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your journey and what got you here to what you're doing today.
It's a long one. I'll give you the 30,000 foot view. Started in the nonprofit space and transitioned into a sales career. So I was in sales for quite a while and realized that there was a real disconnect between people that were high performers that would be placed into leadership roles without the skill sets needed. And they would get into this leadership role and they would unfortunately fail pretty miserably. And so I became really fascinated with leadership development and why this continued to happen and why they weren't being given the tools to be successful. And so I went back to school, got my master's in leadership development, and found that most of the jobs that aligned with the things that I loved were in the HR world. So sort of slowly crept into HR via training and development, and then just found myself in a very wonderful career in HR, building and scaling talent acquisition teams, training and development, and HR for both publicly and privately traded companies. And then I left corporate at the end of last year, most recently in the sports industry, and started my own business in January.
That's awesome. I always love to hear the kind of journey story of, you know, where you started, how you've changed and evolved, and all these passions and purposes that come together to now put together this business that you have that you're just so passionate about. So I love those stories.
Yeah, thanks. I feel like it's people, when I talk to young students, they're so concerned about, you know, being on one track and having like one way of going forward. And I'm like, no, like just go do all the things. I think it makes you better able to relate to people of all kinds.
Certainly. I feel like you have to have diversify your skills, right?
Yeah.
Because there's so many, if not now, right? Using a skill now, you can use it later in your life, or you can apply it to what you're doing. There's just so many different ways that you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what makes it fun.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the tie between visibility and leadership. And I always talk about the two types of visibility. There's an internal and an external visibility. And there's, you know, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, usually it's a solopreneur who has to kind of reflect internally on their why and all those types of things. But I think when it comes to an organization, there's a real opportunity for visibility within the organization and the people and the team and the behind the scenes that are so important to the company's visibility. So I'd love to get your perspective on what you've seen and how you help companies with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great topic. And I think it's so relevant now, especially with social media. I mean, everybody knows it's everywhere. And so I think that the consistency with internal and external visibility is what really matters. Mm. How you treat your employees, the things that you do for your employees, the way employees feel like they can come to work, it translates to your external brand reputation, your customer base, your client base, especially if your internal employees are customer facing.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a really, it's a smart way to tie your HR team into your business objectives is really how are we taking care of our employees so that they can take better care of our clients. Yeah. And so there's a million different ways that I've, you know, worked to do that and different ways that that can play out in an organization, but you're spot on with both experiences being really important.
Yeah. And you talk a lot about leadership development and, you know, people who have been, they've been, what's the word, promoted into leadership roles, mm-hmm. and they may not have the skill set or the mindset around this concept. So what are some of the things that you see that you need to educate these leaders on to give them this perspective and help them understand the value of the people of in their team?
Yeah, you know, I think the higher you go in an organization, the more weight your words and actions hold. And so I think one of the mistakes that companies make is that they believe that promoting somebody into a manager of people role is the only way to advance. And that's not the case or shouldn't be the case. So at the very core, having two different tracks, one for individual contributors and one for managers of people, so that you're not trying to put a, what do they say, like a square box in a round hole or a round yes. box in a square hole, whatever. Like you're not trying to fit something together that just doesn't go.
Yeah.
And so I think the idea that managing people is the only way to advance is part of the problem. Mm. But then if you're looking at managing people as your next step, there needs to be some training around, number one, is this really for you? You're not managing yourself anymore. You're getting work done through others. And there is a real value and a responsibility that comes along with leading other people. And it's also really hard. Like it's not an easy job to have a team that reports to you. And so being very candid about what that looks like and making sure that somebody wants that. And then providing training on the basic leadership skills, which is communication, empowerment, delegation, inspirational leadership. Are you setting the bar? Are you leading from the front or from the behind or from behind? Like there's so many pieces, giving and receiving feedback. And there's so many pieces to leadership that giving somebody a little bit of a taste of what it's going to look like, a little bit of training and development pre, you know,
role.
Obtaining this leadership position, if I could find my words, I think is just to everybody's benefit.
Yeah.
It's harder to correct the behavior than it is to proactively help somebody learn the behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like in my experience in the corporate space, obviously there were several different leadership styles, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, dating myself, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
With you.
I don't think that this sort of focus on educating and empowering leaders to help their team was even a thought, right? It was just kind of like, you're in this role, now do what you're going to do, make money, you know, build this company, whatever it is. But I love that the direction that we're in now, you know, and I think we've learned lessons from, you know, the past 20 years, that has shaped the way that we're doing things now. So it's so important to talk about it, to see it, and even thinking about how our generations have changed, right? The employees that are in these spaces are, they have different perceptions of growth and leadership and all of these things. So, you know, even as a leader, you have to now adapt to the different generations and yeah. varied generations within your organization too. So those are always things that, you know, as a leader, it's kind of like, you know, aiming at a moving target.
It is. It's always evolving.
Yeah. So how would you say from an entrepreneurial standpoint, this leadership development applies? Because as an entrepreneur, you may not have a big team, but there's still an element of leadership involved. So I'd love your perspective on how this applies to the entrepreneur space.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I used to always talk to my team about is the importance of doing what you say you're going to do. That builds trust, that builds reliability, that builds your credibility. And so I think from a leadership perspective, and it's just me in this business, I'm not leading a team. And so for me, the power that I feel like I have that I can bring to my customers, my clients, is this idea that like, I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And this open dialogue that can happen between you and your clients, this sort of ability to be very open to feedback and asking for feedback and trying to understand who you're serving is very much the way that you lead a team or you should lead a team, right?
Yeah.
This individual consideration of all of your team members. So everybody's motivated by something different. Everybody is demotivated by something different. Yeah. And so really looking at every client, every coaching opportunity, every customer, every team member, and making sure that you're tailoring your approach to the people that you're working with. And so that's kind of how I have carried my leadership development into the solopreneur space. It's really around doing what I say I'm going to do.
Yeah. So key. So very important.
Yes. And apologizing if I don't, like, true. You know, if I miss something, you know, when you're by yourself, not that I would ever say like, oh, well, they didn't do it. Right. Like it's never a blame game. It's the accountability piece that really carries over to solopreneurship because it's only you. So if there's a mistake that's made, you have to own it and say, listen, like, I messed that up and I'm really sorry. And this is how I'm going to make it right.
Yeah.
And especially when you're new, you make mistakes. Happens.
Yeah. It's you're human. Everybody does.
Well, I handle it.
Yeah. What about like key first hires, right? So we talked about like the organization that's already established with a team, and then there's entrepreneurs who are solopreneurs and maybe need to grow to build a team. Have you seen? Is there a key strategic first hire, or what do you commonly see when you're in that space?
You know, I don't tend to work too much with organizations with one or two people. But I think that it depends on the direction that the business is headed. So I think that there's a, like, what is the right now goal? Is it to get your business off the ground? Is it to obtain the first client? Like, what does that look like? What does that look like 3 months from now, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, and then building out a staffing model that will help you obtain and grow if that's your plan. Yeah. I think a lot of organizations will start with a financial person just to make sure that they have things done correctly and, you know, they're not getting in trouble. Usually I'm seeing the HR function around hire 20, 30, they're realizing now we need some dedicated focus on the people piece of the business. Mm-hmm. And again, it's industry dependent. Not every industry, you know, is growing quickly right now. Some are trying to stay lean and mean. And then I would say, you know, at some point you're going to experience people related challenges. And that's when you start to need to focus on that people piece of the business.
Yeah. What about, I think building trust is a huge thing in either facet of business. What are some of the biggest ways that you've seen leaders building trust within their organization?
And I think everybody's a little bit different, but the ones that I've seen build trust very successfully, just do what they say they're going to do. They're a little bit, they lean a little bit more into that leadership vulnerability space, which I think is so critically important. Yeah. And it takes learning to do that. I was not somebody that could do that very effectively earlier in my leadership journey. But I recognized pretty quickly that being vulnerable and sharing more about yourself actually allows other people on your team to do the same thing. And so I think the most successful leaders I've seen lean into vulnerability. They do what they say they're going to do. They have a high standard of behavior, moral behavior, actual behavior that guides what they do. So the team knows pretty immediately what will and won't be acceptable as a member of the team. Yeah. Very similar to sports teams, right? That are successful, that have good coaching staff. It's really recognizing everybody's strengths, really helping them develop their strengths, working together collaboratively as a team, and having a team that feels heard. I think that goes a long way.
Absolutely. I love the sports analogy because it is, you know, for you and I, we were talking about sports and business and all of the relation there. There's so much that applies from a sports perspective when you're a leader in a company or on a team or all of those things. So,
Yeah. And you know, the ones that are really, really good, really successful, they're also really good and really successful in the locker room. It's not just on the field. It's not just at performance time. It's all the time.
Absolutely. So I'd love to transition a little bit and talk about your business and your visibility. And so what have you done as you've started emerging into your new business? What have you done for visibility to help you grow your business?
I don't think I've done enough. I will definitely tell you that. That has been a sort of a less critical thing, but it should be first. That was maybe a mistake that I made early on. I wish I had sort of really leaned into the visibility piece. But for me, it's really been via LinkedIn. A lot of LinkedIn. I think very early on, I wanted to establish a philosophy, a way of working, the things that, you know, I felt were really important and critical in my business. And then crafting that, building that out, you know, learning how to build a website, how to get people to go to your website, a LinkedIn business page. I'm an old school marketer. So I like do drops. Like I drop like business cards at local businesses. Like I really like to lean into my sales, my prior sales experience and try to do things a little bit outside of the box. So I've done a lot of that, and I've done a lot of things pro bono too, you know, going to career fairs and talking to students, making sure that I take probably 40 to 50 calls a week, one-on-one, where I'm just having conversations about what do people do and how can I help? And, it's been very natural for me. It hasn't been as intentional as maybe it could have been. Yeah. So 2026, I'm going to try to be a little bit more intentional with the visibility piece. But
well, one of the things that you didn't mention, but I know that you do, is networking, right?
Yes.
And really utilizing your community or your past career, you know, connections to help you in this new venture, because, you know, there's something to be said for the know, like, and trust factor, right? There's people who you've worked with, who know you, who can refer you. And I think that's a huge thing that, you know, a lot of us maybe discount as a visibility piece, because, you know, it's such an integral part of what we do. And I know you do that, and you're part of organizations and all that stuff. So you are doing amazing at your visibility.
Well, thank you. You're right. I didn't even, thank you for pointing that out. I didn't even consider really just the networking. And I enjoy it. Yeah. Like, I just like to talk to people.
Yeah.
That's been a fun part of starting business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's, there's something to be said for, like you said, taking phone calls and these new connections, because I think even if it's somebody that you don't know, maybe even more so when you don't know them, it sparks new ideas. It opens up opportunities. There's just so much that comes from putting yourself out there. And most people are like, oh my gosh, how could I talk to a stranger? Well, you know, sometimes you got to push yourself past these fears, right? Because there's something amazing and beautiful on the other side of it, which are things that you learn as an entrepreneur. You got to push through the fear. But yes, because there's so much that can come from these, you know, blind calls or, you know, opportunities that you have to consider. So,
Yeah, I love that. Awesome. It's so true. I think the sparking ideas piece is so critical. Yeah. I mean, the amount of times that I'll get on a call and somebody, it just happened with you and I, you're like, yeah, I have this idea. And I'm like, oh, there's people I know that can help. Or
yeah,
like, I'll get on the phone with someone and they'll say, oh, I know somebody that I should introduce you to.
Right.
And so that is the way that I think this sort of, it's organic connections, but yeah, it is a strategy to really just be as open as possible to anything that comes your way. Yeah. I think some of the most fun things, the most creative things come when you just don't expect it to. And so, yeah, I think being open to that is something that, that I'm very fortunate that I just naturally have. But I think everybody can be a little bit more open, especially when it comes to using LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest things I hear from, new grads. Like, I can't connect with somebody I don't know. And I'm like, those are who you have to connect with. Those
exactly
are the people.
Who you, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think one of the other things to mention, especially in the entrepreneur space, is not being afraid to connect with quote unquote competitors of yours, because I think there is this kind of barrier that people think, oh my gosh, I'm not going to talk to somebody who does exactly what I do. But in fact, there's so much business to go around. So it's not like there's a competitor, you know, and even if you do the exact same thing, personalities are different. The way that you approach it, the different, you know, people resonate with different people. And I had an experience just yesterday where I was talking to another woman who had a marketing company, almost the exact same background, almost the exact same services, a same client base. And we had an amazing conversation and we sparked some new ideas for each other. We're like, we should do this once a month.
Yes.
So it's like, you have to think outside the box, especially when you're an entrepreneur, to do things a little bit differently, and it's going to benefit you in the long run. So just a little tidbit for the listeners out there.
it's such a good call out. This abundance mindset, right? Mm-hmm. That there's plenty to go around.
Yeah.
There really is. And you know, when you're doing your own thing, you also lose some of that peer group that you have when you're in corporate. And so I have found that talking to people that do similar things, talking to people that do the same thing, it makes both of us stronger, because we can both sort of prop each other up, like rising tides lift all boats kind of a thought process. So I love that.
Yeah. Well, Kate, thank you so much for sharing all your insight and knowledge and expertise. And I'd love for you to share how people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, well, as we talked about with my my marketing invisibility, I don't yet have an Instagram page, but that is coming. So right now, just Kate McKinnon, HRSolutions.com, and anybody can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm the less famous Kate McKinnon, so I'm easier to find.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
You too. Thank you so much.